The subject of incorporating musical instruments into worship is a topic that has been debated and contended by religious-minded people for more than 1,500 years. It's a frequent subject in Bible studies and religious conversations among many precious souls that are searching for the truth. Yet most are still confused about what is allowed in worship. So why is it so hard to understand, and what is the truth? Well, the best way to approach this subject is by first establishing a mutually agreed upon authority. Since we're talking about worship to God, well, wouldn't it make sense that God's word should be the final deciding factor? Well, indeed it should. Because without it, it's really just your opinion over my opinion or someone else's opinion. And this is often revealed in what people say, such as, well, I just like the way that music sounds, or I prefer to go to a church that has a band. You see, those comments are nothing more than personal, subjective preferences. They're not something that's based on scripturally supported conclusions. It is the main reason why people can't agree on this topic. They're yielding to a personal preference instead of adhering to a "thus saith the Lord" type of attitude or submitting to what the Bible says, and there is a difference. So the two approaches are completely incompatible. So do you see now why we absolutely must establish a principal authority before we can really discuss the matter? Because it all boils down to asking yourself, what's more important, the will of God or my will? You might want to consider passages like Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, and John 14, 15 in answering that question. So if we can all agree to submit to the Bible as the authority in all things religious, then what does it teach regarding worship? Well, let's start by being brutally honest. There's no verse that says, "Thou shalt not use musical instruments in worship." However, before we jump to conclusions about that, we need to understand that there is also no verse that says, "Musical instruments are permitted in worship." So how are we to know what is correct? Well, we can draw a sound conclusion by considering two points of discernment. Number one, comprehending the difference between the Old and the New Testaments, and then number two, discerning what the will of God is in the matter. So considering the first point, people often like to appeal to passages where instruments were used in the temple in Jerusalem. That's the place of worship in the Old Testament, such as Psalms 98, 144, and 149. However, if we're going to use those Old Testament verses as our authority for using musical instruments, well, then that would imply that we must also keep the entire Old Testament law, not just one aspect of the law. And that's exactly what James 2, verse 10 tells us. So accordingly, we would also need to offer animal sacrifices, have special clothing for priests, which, by the way, were only for Levites, so how do we identify who a Levite is? And then we are to use incense, as well as do all the things that the law of Moses commanded. You see, in addition, all worshipers must play an instrument because only priests were allowed in the temple. Now, doesn't that seem absurd for today's worship when you look at it that way? Well, the truth is, we cannot appeal to the Old Testament to justify using musical instruments in worship, nor are we bound to it as obligatory for our worship today. We have commands. Romans 7, verses 1 through 14, Colossians 2, verse 14, and Hebrews 7, verse 22 and 8:6 tell us the difference between the Old and the New Testaments. All right, so secondly, concerning God's will and the argument of no prohibitive verses against instruments, well, we could just as easily say that the Bible does not specifically prohibit the use of cake or milk in the Lord's Supper. Yet how do we know that we should not change those elements? Well, we know because we have commands and examples that teach us otherwise. Here's the point. If God tells us what He wants, then He doesn't need to list out everything that He doesn't want. What the Bible does say and demonstrate is singing. I want you to look in what it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, Acts 16, verse 25, Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16, 1 Corinthians 14, 15, and see what they have to say. And what you're going to find is not a single example exists in the New Testament of musical instruments being used in Christian worship. Every reference points to only one form of music, and that is singing. According to historians and the early church fathers' writings, there's also no example of musical instruments being used during worship in the first few hundred years of Christianity. The first mention of them being used came in the 7th century. Now, lastly, incorporating musical instruments in worship is a more modern development. It's not part of the original pattern of worship within the church. Therefore, if we are truly concerned about worshiping God and according to His will, well, then we must follow His examples and His commandments for worship that are found only in the Bible. This means submitting to His authority. It's not a matter of preference or a question of ambiguity or some development in the name of progress. In addition, someone can't use the excuse of, well, it's not a salvation issue, in order to have musical instruments and let that be their excuse. Because in reality, how we worship is directly related to one's salvation. I want you to consider Acts 2, verse 41 through 47, and Matthew 7, 21, when you think about that point. And so, we don't use musical instruments in worship because the Bible, the only authority on the matter, tells us that we shouldn't.